Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Recently, our company's softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, nationwide, coast to coast, and worldwide, actually, via the Chief Sports Network app. It is I, Mad Dog Mullinax, over here cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. JC Sherbert with me as always, and as a special treat, we're starting up the Gamecock Smorgasbord a bit early this week since we're only going an hour today. So welcome in Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. Good to see you, Alex.
Good to see y'all. Y'all were talking right before I got on. Y'all were talking about my part of the state down there in Cowden County and Savannah Riverside, so got right into it.
Yeah, man.
Is the Savannah... Okay, yeah, I guess it is.
Not quite. That part's not quite, but I mean, it's close enough.
I just got it. You know, when I was a kid, I heard tale of the Savannah Riverside. People were, you know, it's a nuclear waste facility, but people down there, it pumps a lot of money into that economy, and it's, you know, it's just you don't hear about, there are bears down there, right? Let's just be clear about that, but you don't really hear about that
much. Yeah.
No,
hear a lot about hogs, and then I learned about, you know, feral hogs, and from watching the Murdaugh thing on Netflix and all that stuff. Apparently, there was an infestation on those at wherever they lived. So, but those things can be pretty damaging, from what I've noticed. So, anyway, enough about that. How are you, Alex? You doing good today?
Doing good. Hope y'all, everybody listens, doing good as well.
Well, because we didn't have a weird video for you today. We're going to give you a break on that because we wanted to get right to it. But don't worry, that's not going away.
Hey, after it wasn't last week, the weird cartoon, I may need a break after having to watch that one.
Those are, we have a lot of weird cartoons.
There's like 500 of those.
Once you get off, when we get our break here in a little bit, well, Phil's going to play a Rick Pitino inspirational speech. And I'm going to tell everybody why that guy's a great coach still. And all that. But anyway, first of all, I want to address something in the chat box and then I'll ask Alex about it. I was on YouTube and I saw Cam and some others ask about Dylan Stewart, and Cam didn't know what it was that was holding him back. And, you know, Cam said, well, he needs a rest for his body. He's 20. If I'm an NFL GM, I'm paying attention. And I've seen this on X a lot too. And so I wanted to address it. Dylan Stewart, and I had one chat box entry typed out. It didn't show up here for some reason, so it just kind of says, accusing the kid of making a business decision. That's the second part to a chat. First thing I was going to say was, no, it's just the opposite. He was working to get back, doing too much, and the doctors were like, whoa, you need to slow down and just do nothing for a while. This was not load management. This was not DJ Lagway, who I think milked his situation. This was him working, and then they're like, slow it down. Because
you have to think too with back injuries too. Like whenever you're kind of dealing with a back injury and you're starting to do something, you kind of overcompensate and you can end up like even hurting something else too. So I think that's something else that has to be thought of. And I mean, I understand what they're doing with him, just completely holding him off. Cause I mean, he doesn't need a spring practice. Like it's just, get him as most rest as he needed to get ready for the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's your back. And so that's it. So he's not sitting out. He's not – and I've seen all kinds of things. He's just going to tank it. And I get it. You know, you had some situations like with Wells and, you know, when you hear about injuries around here for two different coaches now, you just don't trust much, right? And I get it, and he's such an important player. But to just correct the record, and you guys that are listening, please help me spread this, because, you know, you start getting fans and stuff. Kid, these players are all over social media. You start having a lot of fans accusing the kid of that on social media because, frankly, they're you know, they just think that, that's their right to go make things up about players. And look, you can also argue that, well, maybe there should be a little more details coming out about it. Well, I'm here to give you the details. If he were someone that wanted to sandbag, and here's what would have happened last year. The minute his back was in, was hurt or sore, not even hurt, he would have taken himself out of the games. There's no losing team. He would have sat on the sidelines in street clothes. He would have never tried to play. And then he'd hit the portal after the season, especially after Sterling Lucas left. And he could have named his price. Okay. How does it make sense that he's all of a sudden decided to, oh, I'm just not going to play this year? There's nothing about Dylan Stewart. So, and you look, it's, I'll admit it, it's player to player. There's some players, not many I can say on Carolina's roster, there's some players that would have done that.
Well, we've lived through it here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Juice Wells thing in a lot of ways. So I get it, but that's just not how he's wired. And if you pay attention to his actions, because he doesn't say much, right? Dylan's a man of few words. His actions don't say anything close. I mean, you know, if he was worried about that, do you think for a minute he would have played hurt last year?
No. Yeah, no. I mean, a broke back. I mean, basically a broke back, you know, what they're saying. Like, I mean, that's, you know, it's that's painful. I mean, I have never had that, but I mean, you hear the stories about, like, he could have easily just shut it down
last year. And I've never seen anything, you know, now look, has he had plays where he's gotten blocked? Yes. You know, has he had plays where he's gotten taken out of the play? Yes. You know, is he played perfect? No. But I've never seen a play of him where he's not giving it his all and he's loafing or whatever. So I'm just, I'm, you know, it's okay. I get it. Injuries are kind of funny. There's not a lot of trust that goes into them. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, intel says that he's going to be fine, you know, at least back by, you know, the SEC play, at least, because they do need to rest it. And you don't want it to, because if it happens that it gets worse, right, Alex, he's out for the year. Mm-hmm. Right. If it's to the point where this is going to really screw you up and a back can, ask Tiger Woods, then that's, you know, that gets into that serious realm. So the best thing to do is just do nothing and heal. But there's nothing about him or his actions to indicate that he wouldn't do that. So I'm telling you the intel there. If you don't believe the intel, that's fine. I don't blame you, because sometimes intel changes. If you don't believe the intel, just look at what he's done. There's your proof. You know, there's nothing about him that says the kid is anything but a warrior, and a warrior for South Carolina, because you know, he could have, after his first year, could have gone anywhere. He could have gone anywhere in the country out of high school. And where is he at, Alex?
South Carolina.
Right. Where did he stay after South Carolina. Seasons? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. There you go. Spring practice. I know you guys were out there, read your insider report. Tell us what you saw, what you thought, any impressions you can share with the audience.
Yeah, kind of the same type of practice structure that we saw these first few times from an open practice standpoint. So kind of just wanted to look around and see some guys who physically stood out. And you know, I mentioned it in the insider report, kind of saw a few freshmen that Xavier Curran, so I thought, you know, looks absolutely his frame and looks the part. And you know, I thought Cossie Barnes, like, he was a guy that, you know, when he was at Grimsley High School and I saw him a few times, he was always a, you know, physically imposing, physical standout guy at cornerback. But yeah, he even looks like, you know, kind of in that 6'2 frame that he's looked like he's taking a step forward too. And you hear Bakari Swain also talk about him in his press conference yesterday, you know, kind of mentoring him, but talking about how big he is and how strong he is. So he's going to be, you know, I think Cossie Barnes is going to be interesting to watch. Like, at that corner spot, like, you got DeMarcus Leach there, who I think gets a little forgotten about it a little bit, but guy that was, you know, relied on last year at that corner spot. And I think he's got a strong chance to be that kind of first corner off the bench. type of role this year that you saw Vakari Swain kind of play in these past few years. So, you know, interesting, you know, with those two freshmen. And, you know, first time I really kind of watched Caleb Herring too, and I think he looks a part of an SEC edge defensive end, still like from a physical standpoint too. So that was kind of, you know, from a physical standpoint, those are some of the guys that I was kind of watching. Like mentioned Isaiah Augustov as a guy, you know, previously that physically was standing out. And every time I see him too, I think, you know, the same thing as well. So, you know, with those open practices and not getting to see much of the team aspect, and Shane Beamer talked about how they're kind of structuring practice with the, you know, kind of focusing on the fundamentals and those day one types of practices. That was some of the physical guys that caught my attention.
Yeah, I get it there. You know, saw some routes on air and stuff. How did Lenore Sellers look throwing the ball, and then the other quarterbacks?
Yeah, I thought, you know, Lenore Sellers was on point because, you know, I know South Carolina fans are pretty happy to hear that they're throwing a lot of slants in these open practices or in these open portions of practices. And, you know, you see some slants and things like that. Like, you know, a guy I've watched a few times from a receiver standpoint was Nitro Tuggle, and guy you kind of see, you know, what he was in high school and why he was ranked so high. And now I think it's just getting him to take that next step and, you know, be more consistent. But you can see what they really like about him, just kind of a quick twitch guy. You can see the speed. But, you know, you also see, you know, they kind of run a little bit of some fade route types of things where these guys are going up and trying to high point the ball. And, you know, wanted to see a little bit actually a guy I was hoping to watch from a route standpoint was Malik Clark yesterday, but he was kind of off to the side working on something there. So, but, you know, a few of those receivers, like, you know, Donovan Murph is always kind of a physical guy that stands out. You know, Brady Hunt, you know, watch him kind of go up and catch a ball when they're doing the high point kind of practice thing. And he's going to be intriguing just from what's he going to give them this year. You know, you heard Sean Elliott talk about the tight ends and, you know, kind of being the adjusters and what they're going to bring to that offense. But kind of wonder with Brady Hunt if he could be more that type of red zone threat type of guy. And, you know, from a high point standpoint, what you kind of watching him do that, it kind of intrigued me yesterday.
Yeah, I'm with you there on Hunt. Pat DeMarco mentioned that like right after Browse was hired, Brady Hunt. And I think the question with the tight ends, if you look back through the Browse history, you know, there's times where they've used the tight ends like at Arkansas when they had Trey Knox, and then there's times where they've not. I mean, they've had a 400-pound dude out there at tight end as an extra tackle. But that's good. I like the creativity. Maybe some plays you do it, some plays you don't. But then to hear Elliott talk about it, they kind of called him the forgotten man, and we do kind of forget about Brady a little bit. Yeah. And when you're looking for leadership on the team, he's an older guy. This is third year at South Carolina. I believe he's married. So he's one of those older dudes. And I thought putting him under center and letting him power through and score some touchdowns against Coastal last year did a lot for his confidence.
Yeah.
And can kind of help him go. Because he's got some tools, you know. I think he's got really good hands. Elliott said some of the best hands on the team.
He was starting to come on a little bit towards the end of that 2024 season. He made that big catch against Missouri on that third down where Lenoris got out of a sack and, you know, found him down the field. So you start to see his confidence come on. But then I think he got injured in that Missouri game late in that game on one of those last drives. So I think last year is just, you know, you had all the issues offensively. Like, it was hard from a confidence standpoint. But, you know, I think they're going to rely on him this year. And, you know, I think another guy to keep an eye on, you heard Sean Elliott talk about, is Mike Tyler. Because I think he was one that you saw it, some flashes of it in high school, what he can be. But I think it was just picking up the game and getting bigger and stronger. But, you know, sounds like he's kind of taking the next step. And I think, you know, he could be one that, you know, could be relied on this year too. And, you know, I think, you know, Michael Smith would have been really intriguing to kind of watch in this Kendall Browse offense of what he could bring. But, you know, I'm interested with this tight end room overall, what they can do. Because, I mean, you got, you know, Max Drag, who, you know, in his career has kind of been more that blocking tight end, which they're going to need in this Kendall Browse offense with the system they run. But, you know, they've got some really intriguing options in there.
Yeah, I think so, too. I really do. How about the offensive line? You know, what Beamer said the other day to me, or to me, not to me, in the press conference was there's a lot of energy from Randy Clements and Jason Smith. And I've heard different things about the energy level Lonnie Teasley brought. So I don't want to get on him or anything. That's over and done with. But I think, you know, even though it's a different group, if you ask me, just faceless, nameless South Carolina offensive lines, I would like to see now for about 10 years more energy and toughness.
Yeah,
Yeah, go ahead.
That's something we've seen at practice too, because when they do these kind of station where the offensive line goes and they do their own thing, but kind of watching them, like, they're, you know, Jason Smooth or Coach Smooth, as they, or Jason Smith, or as they call
Jason
him, Coach
Smooth.
You know, kind of watching him, like, he's, you know, Randy Clemens is right there too, but like, they, you know, it, they ask a lot of these guys. I think that's something that, you know, you want to hear about. But I mean, they, you know, they're going through these drills, they're keeping an eye on them, and like, if there's anything wrong, like, they're going to get on them, and they're going to get them to perfect it and go through those drills again. So, you know, I think that is something where, you know, from what we've seen so far, there is a high energy level, and, you know, Randy Clemens is going to bring that. But then Jason Smith, like, I think he's going to be, you know, kind of an intriguing addition. Like, there's some of these, you know, on the kind of on staff, on the field coaches or something that, well, I say on the field, they're basically all on the field now. But, you know, you talk about Dre Bly, who's starting to get some praise from some of these guys. But then, you know, you also talk about Jason Smith, who's starting to get some praise too. Like, I think they kind of did a really good job, Shane Beamer did, of nailing some of these off the field kind of hires too. Assistant coaches, assistant like DB or those types of coaches.
Yeah, yeah. I just got a text from somebody that actually seen a practice lately, and he said he liked Jason Smith, very intense guy.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. It, you know, one of the things I've heard from a couple of different folks now is the, and I don't know if you guys get to see this or not, but the offense, it seems they're really, it's a quicker, just a, as expected, a much faster paced system, not only with regards to tempo lining up and doing it, but also like just the plays themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that we haven't, we don't get to see any of that in the practices, but I mean, again, listen to Vicari Swain talk yesterday, kind of asked him about his thoughts on the Kendall's Browns offense. And he basically said that, talking about one, how quickly, you know, the tempo and things like that, but then just how quick the plays are too, where, you know, he's having to run down the field. Those corners have to run down the field, but, you know, they're having to get down the field, back down the field quick, where, you know, I think that's something where in this Kendall Browns offense, like, I think from a deep play, a deep kind of pass perspective, I'm wondering what they're going to do with that, just because you can wear those cornerbacks and those defensive backs down, and when you're running that tempo, you're not going to allow teams to sub either. So, you know, you wonder with those shot plays kind of things, what they're going to do in those plays. But that's definitely something that when you talk to the players or hear from practices, is just the tempo of the practices and offensively, but then also just the plays, how quick they are.
Yeah, I mean, and you've seen that. If you go back to Baylor, that's what they loved. I mean, they'll maybe bubble screen you and run you and run the quarterback and line up and go and go and go, and then nine and round.
That's the exact type of offense I think Lenora Sellers needs. Just not this, you know, dropping back seven steps and things like that. Just, you know, these quick, you know, 1-2 routes kind of concepts, and if it's not there, go.
So I know you on Routes on Air, though, where they throw in the video, seemed to be a lot of long passes, but when you're shooting video, you probably want to have a little more, you don't want to have a little, but did they throw some shorter passes at when you saw against Air?
What we see is just basically some routes and then kind of like 20-yard, 25-yard kind of fade.
Yeah.
Yeah, the video is pretty hard from the fade. Like, it looks like a deeper pass, but it's around 20, 25 yards.
Gotcha. Probably. Because he does need to work on his accuracy in the short game, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, part of doing that, I think, is repping it. I don't know that the last couple of systems had him do a lot of quick game, just to be honest. And I know that because we were all sitting there talking about it. Now, after Furry took over, they did do that a lot. But it didn't seem like he was all that comfortable with it. So hopefully he gets comfortable. Because I do think they're going to throw a lot. There's going to be a lot of bubble screens and a lot of quick. Get your ball to your playmakers and make plays. So I think that's a big key for him is to just individually to rep that and get that down. But, you know, the good news is if you can't do it, they won't run it. That's the great thing about this offense is it's like it's tailored. You know, they're not going to run things that they're not going to run things that they can't do. And I like that. I like that.
They'll do whatever is best for whatever fits the players best.
Yeah. You mentioned Caleb Herring. I think he's a big key to the whole season. And Deion Barnes in his press availability said something that was kind of music to my ears, Alex, because he praised his run defense.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep hammering this, y'all. Mm-hmm. Hammer it. I'm going to hammer it. Run defense side opposite Dylan. Because, you know, again, Kyle Kennard was – nobody talked about it, but Kyle Kennard, boy, he could play the run, and that's so helpful. So your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think that was something they struggled with last year. Teams would kind of get those outside zones types of things, running away from Dylan Stewart, or even sometimes using Dylan Stewart's aggressiveness and kind of, you know, using that in these outside zone plays where, you know, then they get 15, 20 yard runs. I think that's something where that was really an underrated part of Kyle Kennard's game 2 years ago, where the teams just, Missouri's always going to have a little bit of success, but even South Carolina did a pretty good job of kind of getting that outside zone run concept. And that's just something where if you can do that and force these guys to the inside, which you saw in 2024 with TJ Sanders and Tonka Hemingway and those guys, you hope what you've seen from these D tackles so far, that you force these guys inside, they're going to be in there to clean it up. And I think that's something that's huge that you heard from Deion Barnes about Caleb Herring, because that was a struggle last year. They just could not, those teams would get outside and, you know, turn these 5 yard runs into 15 yard runs or so.
Gabriel Brownlow Dindy, Tamiwa Durajaye, Troy Pikes. I saw a picture of Tomiwa, the other day. It looks like a grown man. It was on his ex account. I've heard good things about Brownlow Dindy. Obviously, he's a guy that's got all the potential in the world. I guess the thought is, from a lot of folks, is that the D tackle room is going to be pretty stout and better than last year. We know it wasn't a problem last year. It wasn't as good as the year before. Your thoughts on that position? And I think also, Noah, I mean, I thought Jordan Dove and Jameel Walker did a fantastic, unbelievable job last year. Let's just be clear about that. But Travian's Travian, right? And getting him back as far as getting guys good, I think is critical as well. You know, your thoughts on the D tackles and could it be a strength of the team?
Yeah, I think it absolutely has got a chance to be that. I mean, you think about, you know, I think it, you know, it's got a good mix right now of, from a, you know, a starting kind of standpoint. I mean, I think you look at Durajaye, you look at Brownlow Dindy, you know, Troy Pikes, we've talked about a lot on here, like how well he was playing toward the end of that year. Like, I think you feel good about that rotation there from a, you know, those three guys standpoint. But I think you also kind of like the depth there too. I mean, you know, I think you want to see, you know, Christian Ingram and Caleb Williams kind of take a step forward, which Caleb Williams was back kind of, you know, fully dressed like everybody else at practice with the at practice yesterday. So that was good to see. But, you know, can those guys take that next step? And then what are you going to get from Aiden Harris and Noah Clark too? Like, those guys are off to a pretty good start, it seems like. But, you know, how much are you also going to need them? Because they like to rotate so much, but, you know, can those guys get work into their rotation? Because, you know, you talk about those three with Brownlow Dindy, Durajaye, and Troy Pikes, and then you get those other guys. You know, what's that rotation going to look like? Because they do like to rotate so much in there, but can Noah Clark and Aiden Harris kind of work their way in into that rotation? Because I think they're off to a pretty good start so far, along with, I think that freshman class has also just really caught a lot of people's attention so far.
Yeah, anybody else? You mentioned Kazi Barnes. He looks like everybody thought.
Yeah. It seems like he's taking – he, like I mentioned, like he, I thought – I always liked what I saw from him physically, but I thought he looked – you know, he's taking the next step from a physical standpoint so far. And he's one where you see these freshman DBs, like they get a lot of work on special teams if they can do what they're being asked to do. But I think he's got a chance to do that and maybe even work himself into that corner rotation.
Yeah, the backups at corner are very interesting. You know, you got Leach and Solomon – like off the top of your head, but Barnes could step in there. Jazavian Currents, would you didn't see anything about him out of him?
Yeah, just, you know, kind of during that stretch period, I was looking around at some guys, and he was one that just, I thought, you know, physically, like, which is not a surprise. Like, he was always really, you know, at South Point, a physical guy, but it's just going to be interesting with him too. Like, is he going to work himself? I think he'll be somehow in that, you know, top four or so, top three or so in that safety rotation, but can he work himself into a starting role? Like, he's going to have some competition there with Peyton Williams and David Busey and those guys at that safety spot. But, you know, what's he going to give? Because I think at the very least, he's going to be another guy, kind of like Kassie Barnes, who's going to give them something from a special team standpoint at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a reason. And if you watch Torian Gray through the years and kind of how he's managed things with going to go portal, not going to go portal, that type of deal, you know, he's usually knocked it out of the park. I remember there was outrage because for whatever reason, people thought O'Donnell Fortune couldn't possibly get any better from year to year, even though every single defensive back that's come through this program has that's not had an injury has gotten better year to year. Right. And he had O'Donnell had a great senior year. I mean, I thought he was shut locked down on that side. But they were, you know, almost sociopathic about Why didn't they take a corner? Because of Donald Fortune, blah, 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 blah. Anywho, there's a reason that Quasheed Scott was the only portal thing. Because, you know, you look at everything. You look at nickel and you're like, okay. And then he could also play a little corner, right? Depth at corner and nickel. So you kill two birds with one stone. I think it's because they knew that, that guys like Currents and Barnes, and then with Solomon back, and DeMarcus Lawrence, or DeMarcus Lawrence, Marcus Leach going into his next year, but they'd be fine, you know, and have you noticed that, you know, through the years with Torian and just how it's like, you know, you never say don't worry, because the minute you say don't worry about something around here, it goes to, it's surprisingly bad. You know, like last year, I'm not worried about the offense. How many times did we say, I don't know if I said that, but a lot of fans said that. I'm not worried about the offense. The defense scares me. Well, I've got a little surprise for you.
Yeah.
You know, so I hate the first drive. I almost feel like I'm, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Me and Phil, it literally looked like we were in The Sound of Music.
Right.
Seen The Sound of Music, where we're dance, holding hands and dancing, and there's flowers and mountains and stuff. We're up there in our seats in Atlanta, just could not. We're, oh my God,
look at this!
Look at this, beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful.
Lord, the hills are alive.
The hills are alive. And then reality sets in.
Yeah. Then Virginia Tech adjusted, and that was it.
Yeah, dude. I don't even know if they did. I just think,
who's to say?
They just said, well, okay, so that was fun. Let's run it up the middle now.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we did that. Check.
Lord, it's like watching the like a NFL football game back in the early 90s.
Yeah,
right. And they never do anything for the no fun league, you know.
Hmm.
Anywho, so that was bad, but yeah, I kind of got off track here. What were we talking about?
Oh, the safeties,
yeah. I think that'll be interesting. You know, a lot of people really like David Busey, me myself included. I know Gerald Kilgore is at nickel. Man, I think that gives them three solid nickels, because I like Jaquel Hallman as well. Yeah. So you got Scott. So you got depth there, whereas Kilgore didn't come off the field a whole lot at times because he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to throw Hallman out there, or you had to move Cisse in and put another corner out there. And then with Collier banged up, with Judge banged up, that was the Miles Norwood show. And so now look, I said all that about Torrey Gray and all that. I'm not saying they've never missed in recruiting,
mm-hmm.
because they have. I mean, everybody, every coach alive misses in recruiting, but,
well, I think, you know, with some of those injuries they dealt with that corner, like that's, and DeMarcus Leach having to play, I think that was only going to benefit him for this season, because these teams tested him when he got in the game, and you know, he had some play, especially in that Virginia Tech game. Like, he was right in phase with those receivers, but they dropped it into those receivers, Aiden Green and those guys. Like, I think, you know, what those reps that he got this past year are only going to help him. And same can be said for Kendall Daniels. I mean, they trusted him to kind of play in that dime third down package last year, late in the season. Like, I think one, you know, that goes to your point where, you know, they didn't take a safety in their portal. Like, that's something where I think they kind of have some trust in Kendall Daniels for him to take that next step along with some of those other guys.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Kendall Daniels, we were all watching those guys, right? So, all watching those guys. Kael Samfong Talia. Isn't that the freshman quarterback from Dillon who's not at Dillon anymore?
He's not at Dillon, yeah.
Where do you know where he's going?
I haven't heard where he's going to end up.
Well, he's there today. Yeah, I'm sure he's at practice today. So I'm just going to – he tagged ITG in the photo. So you can go to at Gamecock Show to see that. It's going to be interesting. The 2029 group, he and Bear Woods.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, having two, well, I was going to say in-state guys, I assume he'll stay
in-state. Yeah.
But
the closer you get to the North Carolina border, dude, like, the better chance they cross it.
Yeah.
And Dillon, home of south of the border, obviously.
Yeah.
Is good. I've heard Bruin in our chat, but keeps up with high school sports as well as anyone. So that kid's – the kid at Dillon's – I mean, this – I'm going to have to learn his name over the next 3 years. Kael Samfong Talia.
Yeah,
is this dude Asian? He's aging. I got to tell my wife.
Right. Hey,
in that 29 class, they got a chance. Like, it's, you know, guys always kind of emerge, but already right now, like, Barry Woods is really good. Like, he's already put up some stats there.
Yeah.
In high school, like, he's really good. Saw him kind of in person at now as a 7-on-7 camp. So you can kind of take what you can from those things. But he's one just from a physical standpoint. Like, I think he's, you know, he's got some ways to go there, but you expect that for a freshman too. But he's already got the arm strength and things like that. Like, he's, those two are going to be ones to watch for that 29 QB class.
How tall is Bear? Is he taller than Cutter or no?
I mean, I think he may be right around that. I'm trying to see what we have him listed at right now. He's probably right around that Cutter's height. We have him listed at 6'4", 185, which is probably right where I'd have him too, especially that 185 weight. Like, being 6'4", 185 is a little bit lanky right now, but you expect, you know, he'll continue to kind of fill out physically. I mean, he's a multi-sport and kind of star too, really good in basketball. I think he's really good in baseball. I think he plays baseball, but I know he's really good in basketball too. So that's the type of athleticism you like to see.
Well, Cutter was that age. He's about 6'1", 6'2", though. So this kid's a little taller. It's kind of like Shuler Bentley and Jake Bentley in a lot of ways, where younger brothers taller. That's the way it is in my house too. Younger brothers taller. Now me, I think I'm taller than all those guys, Phil. I'm taller than Seth, Jason, and Cam.
Yeah.
I am. Not by much, but I am.
You edge them out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I edge them out, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on with my gene pool. My uncles and grandfather on my mom's side are bald, too. We're bald, too. And you're supposed to go bald if it's because the male pattern is on your mom's side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will have more hair than a woolly mammoth on the top of my head. until the day I die.
It's true.
I'm not one of these people that takes his shirt off and you're like, oh my God. That was me on the side of the road in Barnwell. Sunbathing.
That's right.
I was sunbathing and somebody shot me. But anyway. Any thoughts on the basketball attrition?
Not surprising. I mean, I'm interested to see just, you know, what the returning – are there going to be any returners, honestly? I mean, I think, you know, just it's been a little bit slow, I think, just from, you know, so far with those guys announcing. But, I mean, I think you're obviously going to expect some more there. Like, E.J. Walker was the one that I think we talked about, like – you know, he was kind of the surprise a little bit. Like, I think he was one that you would have liked to keep. He showed a lot of potential things he could bring to the table. But I just think this is – he's got a chance to be just completely new roster come next year.
Yeah, me too. And we'll see.
I mean, and I'm not surprised by anybody. He's already announced they're leaving too. Like, those were not surprises.
No, none of them will be. And it's not just that they're trying to run them off. It's – a large portion of it, my understanding, is based on the exit interviews. These guys just weren't, I mean, there was not a lot of self-awareness and self-reflection. But, you know, like Eli Ellis, who I do appreciate his hustle and all that, he has people working for him that put up a Instagram post 2 days before he got in the portal. Eli Ellis got it done all year long. And there were three clips on both ends of the court, you know, when his defense was bad.
Yeah, the defense is the one that really just kind of made that for me.
I think there are a lot of football players, especially high school recruits, that don't live in reality. I think basketball, nobody lives in reality, or very few live in reality. The ones that live in reality, Phil and Alex, those are the ones that are going to, you know, here next week in Indianapolis. They're going to be on those teams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, not putting up a highlight clip. Couldn't believe that. I'd kind of been tipped off he would be out, but I was like, and I should have said something, but I didn't. I mean, I should have just commented, but he's a kid. I don't want to burst his bubble. The adults in the room need to figure that out. But anywho, all right, man. Well, this was fun. It went by too quick.
Yeah,
we're gonna have weirdness for you next week. Don't worry, we'll get you.
Hey, we started off talking about Bears and Barnwell. I mean, how much more weirder can you get?
Yeah,
I probably should not have said that. Now you're going to find some crazy video next week where it will definitely match that.
Oh yeah, there's more. Yeah, we've got a That's whole right. Phil and I have a volumes of it. So
got a vault of them.
All right, cool. We'll be back after these messages. Thanks, Alex. And to wrap up the show after this.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
We are officially opened at the all-new JT's Kia. You've got to see it to believe it.
We're serious about making your buying experience fast, friendly, and hassle-free.
Get grand opening 0% for 60 months on new JT's Kias. Put no money down and get my million-mile warranty. I'm so excited, savings up to $10,000.
I'll throw in $5,000 over book value for your trade. That's a grand opening for the record books.
Hurry to the all-new JT's Kia.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via gamecocktraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again
Sports! Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
This seems about right.
And I'm searching for a rainbow. And if the wind never showed me where to go, you'll be waiting at the end, and I'll know I'll see the hill with that pot of gold. I'll see the hill with that pot of gold.
The show loves Spartanburg. Now back to Mad Dog and Sparkle City's finest, J.C. Sherbert.
Dig and be a basketball player. Dig in. Every time you miss a shot, your game deflates. We don't care about your missed shots. Play defense. You guys keep blowing opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity. You're like children with bad things happening. Instead of digging in and be tougher, you wilt. Where is your f***ing toughness? Where have you guys been raised that you're so weak mentally that you just f***ing give up when something doesn't go right for you? Don't you know what adversity is all about? That's the f***ing game of life, not the game of basketball. You don't f***ing get down when things go wrong. You dig in and get tougher. Your whole life's going to be adversity. Learn how to f***ing deal with it. Dig in and be a basketball player.
Yo, the Godfather, man. Yeah, that man. Guy, you know. And look, lesser people, and nobody in our audience, but there are certain people out there that would listen to that, and all they would hear is the F bombs. and the yelling.
Right. Yeah.
That's all they'd hear. And it's a ridiculous part of our society that does that. But the message is the one of the most important messages you can possibly communicate as a coach.
It's okay. One I've given to both of my daughters this week.
Even though
life is hard.
Even though, you know, there's going to be pro ball players probably sitting in that room, or and even though college players get paid some of them get a lot now. Sports at an amateur level are still about developing you for life. I mean, that's why I told my stepson that, you know, he was kind of down because he got hurt and got Wally Pipped.
Yeah.
I don't want to say Wally Pipped because that guy wasn't Babe Ruth. He moved around like a sloth, but that's okay. I guess he was just bigger. But, you know, I said, look, man, you know, of the kids that start out playing youth league football, you know, only 10% of them ever play in, you know, youth league, middle school, only 10% of them ever play like JV. And then of those 10%, you know, probably only half of them end up actually playing on the varsity roster. And then of those only, you know, there's like 20% of them that never letter because they never play. They just stand on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. I was like, so you're kind of in this rare group. And then I said, cause he's like, well, I wish I'd have been taller, bigger, gotten a scholarship. Like he was focused on that outcome. And I was like, well, the outcome's the outcome, but you've already accomplished more in the sport of football than like 89% of the players that were playing when you started playing in fifth grade.
Right.
So, and you know what it's taught him? He's a knucklehead because he's in high school, but he's got some self-discipline about him. You know, he decided he wanted to eat clean. He eats clean. He decided he wanted to go to the gym every day. He goes to the gym every day. You know, he decided he wanted to work at a job. He works at a job every day. I wish he would decide to make better grades. But senior assassin, that's kind of.
That's right. It's consuming.
Oh, there was drama at the house this morning. At 6 a.m., he's out there looking. I think they're chasing me, bro. Finally, he got a ride with somebody. We didn't have to take him in. But, you know, I just think that's important. And I think when I don't, you know, people talk about people being soft and stuff these days. I don't think it's so much soft as like stupid, like focused on the wrong things. Can't see the forest through the trees. And because I guarantee you that a lot of moms out there would only hear the cussing. And a lot of dads out there would only hear the cussing. And a lot of friends out there, girlfriends would only hear the cussing. A lot of players would only hear the cussing.
Yeah, I don't want to be talked to like that.
The Athletic had an article today about should coaches not curse? I didn't read it. I'm assuming it's about cussing on the sidelines in public. Because whoever wrote that, if they think it's practice, it's in practice, they got another thing coming. They've never been to a practice nor played competitive sports. So I appreciate Rick Pitino for that reason, and I think that's why it is. Jay Frew said it's Jeff's birthday today. Yeah, Cox by 90's birthday today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my cousin's birthday. It's my cousin Jonathan's birthday too. So I didn't realize it was Jeff's birthday because I didn't get on Facebook. but I saw Cocky Hospitality tweeted that and actually texted him happy birthday. He's a great person. There's not a more positively passionate Gamecock fan that will do anything in his power to support the program alive than Jeff. And there's a lot of y'all out there that are like him, but just I always love hanging out with him because even when, you know, like as friends, you're griping about your team or whatever, and coaches are, yeah, we all do that privately. Right. even then, when he, you know, talks about, you know, when he's critical, it's always, there's always a path toward how do they get better? You know, how can we do this? You know, and he's super supportive and just one of the many people that through doing this stuff I've gotten to know through the Gamecocks, and I'm so blessed. All the people that, I mean, this job, you know, with the game has given me my favorite team growing up, and it's been the honor of a lifetime to get to know many of y'all. Now I didn't meet Phil through that. Phil Phil and I did it the old-fashioned way.
That's right.
It's kind of mutual friend.
That's right.
Mutual. That he ended up. That he ended up marrying.
Well, so, I ended up
and having children with. So, but man, but yeah, happy birthday to Jeff. Just a great dude. And Dr. Hopkins, yeah, she listens all the time, and can't say enough good about her. She's fun to hang around. And I've met her. And I can't wait to get back to the wing eating contest in June and see all these people on wing weekend. So it'll be it'll be pretty awesome. Oh, ITG McKellar Enterprises chat box. Harrison points out accurately, some folks were saying last offseason that the offense was going to have to carry the team the first couple of games. And boy, were we off on that one. Yeah, I never actually said that. But I didn't actually disagree with some folks that were saying it. And then, I mean, it was logical.
Yeah, it made sense. Yeah,
but my point was more, I think the defense is going to be just fine, you know, and they were.
Yeah.
They were good enough for that team to win. I don't know about go to the playoff, but you know, even with a competent offense, 7-8 games last year. I mean, against that schedule that turned out to be much tougher than anyone ever imagined.
You're like two competent drives that don't even really have to end in points, just need to keep the team off the
field
to a bowl game, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that was
so sad.
But, you know, like you talked about adversity, sometimes bad things happen that lead to good things.
That's true.
It's a story of my life, really. I mean, God, it's just because the good Lord takes after fools. But, you go through a bad thing. Last year was bad. It's bad. Okay. Bad. Losing's bad. Okay. But if it hadn't happened, it wouldn't have led to Kendall Briles. And there's an example of that around here. Previously, you know, Steve Spurrier, that 08 team was the worst team he had before 2015. Just very limited talent wise. The more talented players were on defense. It was that year they had quarterback issues. It was supposed to be Tommy Beecher, and that didn't work. Mm-hmm. And then Smelly, that was kind of up and down. And come to find out, you talk about, I think, a shoulder injury Chris Smelly was playing with. That's why he really wasn't the same. And then they rotated and then Garcia got in there and gave him a lift against Kentucky, and he started against LSU and Tennessee. But then they didn't go with them the rest of the year, and they went back. And then they started rotating him and Smelly play after play. And then they just got waxed, dude. Florida, they went down to Florida, and I believe they were 7-3. And Florida won the national title that year. Florida beat them like a redheaded stepchild, 56-6 at the Swamp. I was there. Awful. Devontae Holloman committed the night before, so see good things. And then Clemson got him in the Dabo game, got Dabo the job. And then Iowa just beat the I was at that Outback Bowl, too. I was at all three of those games. God, I'm a glutton for punishment. In the Outback Bowl, Iowa beat him by 3 touchdowns in a non-competitive game. And it was really the worst stretch under Coach Spurrier. Well, so then people started leaving. You know, Ellis Johnson was there as the D coordinator. That was his first year. But people started leaving. You know, a lot of guys went pro. Players, Ron Cooper left for LSU. They fired John Hunt after the offensive line coach after the season. David Reeves went with Lane Kiffin to Tennessee. And it kind of gutted out the staff a bit. Shane Beamer was still there. And it enabled them to hire G.A. Mangus, Jay Graham, Lorenzo Ward. Say what you want about him as a D coordinator, but he was instrumental in recruiting Clowney and Gilmore and all those guys. You know, and that was really his best staff when he settled in on that staff. Craig Fitzgerald, the strength coach, came in. Like 6 staff changes, and that led to better days. So sometimes that happens. Now, would I prefer last year to have been a 7-6 bowl game year like that one was? Absolutely.
Sure.
But that year, Carolina wasn't playing teams like they played last year. I mean, Beamer pointed out accurately. Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and Vanderbilt. those may have been the best seasons. It's at least the best season A&M's had since the SEC by a mile. Maybe in 20 years. I think R.C. Slocum went undefeated there during the regular season in the 90s. Okay, this is the best season Ole Miss has ever had by a long shot. And it's the best season Vanderbilt's ever had by a long shot. So those three teams, best seasons ever. You know, and I've said it before, Missouri and LSU probably didn't have the seasons they wanted, but you played them when they, you know, they didn't know they were the sick. I call them the sixth sense. They don't know they're dead yet.
They don't know they're dead yet.
LSU. I see Blaine Kelly. He's walking. I don't know they suck.
I see Ole Miss.
I see Bo Priblio.
I see Bo.
Anyway, so that's what happened there. But I've said all that crap before. But anyway, I meant to ask Alex a follow-up on Nitro Tuggle. But the more I hear about him, the more I get a little excited about that guy. There's a lot of players I'm excited to see. I wish there was a spring game, but what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Oh, by the way, I've been saying this offensive line's not going to pass the eyeball test. Like the other one, but the eyeball test doesn't matter because Carolina getting off the bus on the offensive line the last 2 years has been amazing looking. Fantastic.
Look at that.
Fantastic. That's what they look like. Well, it doesn't matter how you look, it matters how you play. But I just had somebody kind of confirm that to me. Like, yeah, these guys, it's not as, you know, they don't look like last year's, but they play. They're more athletic, tougher, meaner.
What you want. Yeah.
Exactly. Mean. All right, let's get one more break in, and we're going to come back, catch up the chat box, and get out of here. Oh, but Craig talks about this picture of Fred Johnson. Yeah, I think he was standing. I don't know if he was standing beside Murphy or Justin O. As president of the Fred Johnson Fanboy Club, I approve of that picture. My God, unbelievable. Yeah, Craig texted that to me the other day. I thought, wow, that's... And I heard the other day he's still running. I was like, he's still fast? Yes, he's still fast. And becoming a leader. Clayton White's been talking about that since last year.
Right.
They wanted Fred to become a leader. It's good when your linebackers are leaders because they're your linebackers. Remember Terry Tate, office linebacker?
Yeah.
I love those commercials.
Those are great. Yeah.
Why didn't you put the toner back in the printer? Good morning, Gladys.
Good morning, Gladys.
Dexter says hard not to get him excited about a guy named Nitro. Yeah. Yeah, I dig it. Anyway, this is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Go to D's Wings. Go to GamecockTraditions.com. Back to wrap it up after this.
It's time to bring the gym to you. Do it your way, on your time, in your home. We all have busy lives. Kids, work, and anything else that can interrupt our daily routine. Maybe it's free weights or a treadmill. Maybe it's a rower or a home gym. Visit Charleston Fitness Equipment and start taking care of you. Do it your way. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Go Gamecocks. Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
March is a race against time at JT's Jeep Ram.
For the first time ever, I'm selling brand new Jeeps, regardless of profit or loss.
Every credit application accepted, every offer accepted, every deal is reviewed and approved.
I've been challenged to sell 100 Jeeps,
so I'll make deals the other dealers can't.
New Jeeps up to $10,000 off. Grand Cherokees, Wranglers, Gladiators.
He's serious about saving you money.
And I'm serious about winning this challenge.
JT's Jeep Ram.
Declaration of Deals sales event.
Today and every day, we celebrate our great state of South Carolina. This week, our hometown highlight takes us to Clarendon County and amazing Manning, South Carolina, the home of the annual Striped Bass Festival at Courthouse Square. We love you, Manning.
Hey, Manning, this is Mason West from the West Law Firm. We love helping our friends in Clarendon County, just like we do across the whole state of South Carolina. If you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt on the job, give us a call at West Law Firm, 843-897-7525.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a Thirsty Thursday. Had Alex Jones in for our weekly Gamecocks smorgasbord early today. If you missed that, it'll be we'll clip it up, put some cuts up of it, and got a cut of G.A. Mangus here about to hit YouTube. So check out the Inside the Gamecocks YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Anything you missed, we'd like to put out some of the best of every day that for all the interviews and you know, whatever laughs we have around here on the show.
Absolutely.
Get thrown up there. But yeah, I love YouTube. It.
Be sure to hit subscribe on that YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of the numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only 45% of the people that view our show have hit the subscribe button.
Still.
We're not like a lot of other YouTubers. And I'm not saying they're wrong for doing this. But we probably are stupid for not doing it.
We should at least ask.
Like, subscribe, and share, you know. Yeah, we got a lot more shares than I thought we did.
Yeah.
Like, I'll look through the totals at the end of the month and I'll be like, man, somebody actually shared this.
We're distributing this.
This was shared 400 times. Wow.
We've had some bangers here over the past, say, week and a half.
Dude, Jamie Bradford's rant about Pulmonary yesterday.
That took off like a bat out of hell when I put it up.
Whoa. Sour grapes. Paul.
That's right.
Old Paul. Oh, I got to do the bracket update, the bracket channel. Hang on. We got to give us the standings, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Heading into tonight. Yeah. Let's see.
I think I've got it here.
I had it pulled up earlier.
ESPN used to make it easy. Now they don't.
Yeah. Now you got to go there. You got to go to fantasy. Yeah. You got to click this.
Everyone's going to click on fantasy, and that's so stupid.
It's just the more time you spend on their site, I guess.
Yeah. That's how it is with, you know. Anywho,
everybody's playing numbers games.
Oh, South Carolina left out again.
Yeah,
that's all right. So, well, it hadn't updated since we updated it last. I'm just so dumb.
That is true, but it's good to refresh everybody. Yeah. Games kick off.
Heading in tonight, they're three tied for first place. The Moose is
the Moose right at the top.
He has and he has the most upside max points. He had Arizona as his champ.
Yeah.
Jay Frew is kicking it, tied for second with Big Slamma Jamma. And if I didn't mention your name, it's not on purpose. It's just there's a bunch in here.
I just missed it. Yeah.
Somebody named their bracket, and in light of the Will Wade news, which I'm still kind of the best take on this I've seen is you have Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, and Lane Kiffin all coaching at the same school. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. And LSU, I think they've just stopped giving a damn.
Right.
Will Wade wants to bring him back. Let's go. Hey, and they haven't even fired Matt McMahon.
That's what I'm like. I haven't heard anything about LSU releasing Matt McMahon, but I've heard everything about Will Wade coming home.
That poor guy, dude. He's just like, Maybe he's like in the gym with the basketball, like solitaire. He's just bouncing it and shooting free throws, waiting for somebody to come tell him he's out of a job.
What if they just keep him around? I mean, like, well, we're going to have to pay him anyway. Might as well just keep him around.
They need to hire Coach O back to be the guy that tells you you're fired.
Yeah, that's right.
Like he's like the
Reverse Hall of Fame guy or whatever from the NFL that comes knocking on your door, gives you a hug, and is like, "Welcome to the NFL."
Like, yeah, it's just like the George Clooney character and Up in the Air. Don't think of this as an ending here at LSU. Think of it as a new beginning. Now we're gonna give you $4 million, and you're gonna walk out that door about 4 o'clock, okay? This is Bruno, my security guard. He was third team D tackle. When I was a head coach here, best scout team defensive tackle you've ever seen in your life. He's a good LSU tackle. Now he's gonna be armed now. So no funny stuff. But you can take your body up and go to your car, and we're gonna change the locks at 4:30. But we'll have your check to you in the mail. And thank you for coaching at LSU. Yes, sir.
Right.
What if they have to fire Kim Mulkey? Now, hypothetically, you know, because sometimes coaches that are really good have to be fired.
Yeah.
And they send Ed Orgeron. Well, Kim, I want to hear that conversation. Right. What are you saying, Ed?
What?
Well, Miss Mulkey.
Careful, Ed. I'll whoop your ass.
Right now. I don't have any time for you. I told you, Kim, you're out. Bruno, get her stuff. Anyway, strong ass bracket is tied with Big Slam again. Bruin is in that mix too. That's kind of the third tier. Then you got people tied here. Rob Williams, Harrison Lutheran is in that next group. Mad Dog Mullinax is in the next group. He's tied with Craiger. The next group has my wife, the other Craig from SEC Sunday Night.
That's great.
Phil's daughter. And you go down, and I am in the next group. 460 points. Yeah, that'd been the best bracket for old Sherbs here.
You still have decent upside. You got
over. Yeah, I do. As long as Michigan and St. John's are still alive. Blake. Oh, kind of bringing up the rear down in this tier after two tiers after mine. Anybody in last place? Justin Hall's in last place. So two people that have been on our airwaves, or that are on our airwaves, Craig McMichael and Justin Hall, have both been in horribly last place at different points. Get it together.
Pull it together.
Pull it together. So
all who's right, playing tonight? What is tonight look like? What's going on?
You get the schedule. I'm going to catch up on the chat box so we can get out of here. Mm-hmm. J-Diz says Coach K would light into every top prospect at his camp if a kid couldn't take criticism. Coach K didn't want him. Plus, he coached more than Frank Martin ever did. Yeah, he just didn't. On the sidelines, he was kind of calm. But, yeah, like remember who Coach K played and coached for? Anybody know? Phil?
What? He was in the Army, right?
Yeah, again, he played for at Army.
Oh, I don't know who we played for.
The general, Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight. Did he really? That's
great. Yes, he played for Coach Knight. And I was an assistant. Then we went into coaching. And then he got the head coaching job at Army when Bobby Knight went to Indiana. So, yeah, Coach K, yeah. JD says our BOT and AD would have fined Coach K out of his salary for cussing. A little pearl-clutching BOT. Ah. I don't know, man, because there's a lot of people, including the AD you're probably referencing, that in practice, I mean, you don't want your kids around. Mm-hmm. I think with Frank Martin, it was because of this, it was a public. Yeah. Do I agree with that decision? Probably not. You know, I think, but I didn't like the decision. I mean, you know, it was his decision to make, obviously, as the athletics director, but I didn't like it. I thought that was a little bit namby-pamby, and it kind of reinforced some things about men's basketball, you know. I mean, you know, but it's probably that if you want to know why, it was probably because it was wide open. So Yeah. JDS says linebackers
in the South tonight. So it's real quick. What do we got?
Give us a schedule, Phil.
Let's see. Kicking off. Sorry, I got football on the brain after
kicking off.
Yeah, that's right. Tipping off. Ice. That's right. 7:10 tonight. Texas and Purdue. And then, of course, we've got 7:30. Oh, yeah. Iowa, Nebraska. No, this is not football season. Then we have Arizona and Arkansas. And then we'll round it out with the 10 o'clock Illinois and Houston.
Ooh.
So one of these games doesn't matter at all for my bracket because it just got totally blown up. That Iowa-Nebraska game really threw me over. I didn't pick Nebraska to be there, but I picked Florida like a majority of people.
I had Florida and Mandy in that.
Yeah.
Texas-Purdue is going to be interesting. You know, Purdue, Iowa-Nebraska. That's a football rivalry.
Yeah, right. It's like, no, this is not 1990s.
Border War. Arizona, the two nightcaps.
Yeah, those are going to be really good games.
That's serious right there. Arizona, Arkansas, and Illinois, Houston. Those are some serious. My friends are obviously, we had him on Doozy, Illinois fan. I mean, yeah. I'm sure his, because Illinois actually has the talent to win.
It's a good team, man. They've been fun to watch. Yeah.
This is a much better Illinois team talent wise than they have been. Jay Frew says hook him, even though he picked Purdue. Jay Frew's a Texas guy. So X-Man says, do you have a week date for the wing eating contest? Yes, the weekend of June 19th through 21st would be the 20th, that Saturday, June. Chaco says he hopes his bracket isn't destroyed. Yes, me too.
Yeah, man.
And I mentioned what JD has said about the linebackers. They should be nasty this year. I like the three they got. I think if they can avoid injuries, knock on wood, and play those three. My question is behind them, who's going to be ready? I need to check and see if there's an update on like a Donovan Darden or AJ Holloway. I like all those guys. They just may not be ideal. They're not going to be as good as those three. And, you know, Sean Murphy has to continue to play well. He can't revert. And Fred Johnson and Justin O have to take a step forward, which I think everybody thinks they will. Got to play like, you know, it was inconsistent for those two last year. And I tell you this, if you have a better interior D-line in front of you, Phil, that's going to help them.
It does help, yeah. It does.
That helped Debo Williams a whole lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. The X-Man says he may actually be there. Supposed to be in Dirty Myrtle that week. Holy
freak.
Oh, X-Man. Man, it'd be great to see you, brother.
Come on down.
It's a good time. It's a good time.
Are y'all coming down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always come down. We're co-sponsoring it.
No, I know. I just like, you know.
Yeah, unless something prevents us from coming down that we can't get out of. As you know, my father-in-law's ill.
Yeah.
So there's something there that we're coming down. Now, I think we're probably going to drive again because, Phil, I'm not getting within 50 feet of an airport.
I hear the two up around your neck of the woods are a mess.
They're all a mess. This is the stupidest thing ever. And then you have fire trucks in the middle of the runway. It's a disaster. And
that's why I'm like, maybe we need to update, you know, all the air traffic control before I feel comfortable getting on a plane.
And that pisses me off too. Our government spends. I mean, you saw all the Doge stuff about.
Oh my God! Yeah.
About what they were spending money on in foreign countries and the amount. You could cut three of those programs and in a short amount of time have a modern air traffic control system. The reason they won't do it is because of private jet owners, because they'd have to upgrade because the jets, you know, run off their older jet. They run off analog. Come on, man.
I'm freaking sorry, man. You know,
I am sorry. If you know, you just gonna have to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just going to have to, you got to figure that out. And cause
1% problems, man. 1%.
And I'm like, and it's both parties.
Right. Yeah. No, it crosses the line. It's
I just drag their feet on it. And I'm like, I see all these appropriations for all this bullshit, all this money they're spending. And then you see how much it would cost for new air traffic control system. And it's much less than what they keep approving.
No.
All right. No politics.
That's right. No Thus politics. Concludes our political.
Gregor says we will never make it up for that Arkansas game. Yeah, I'll probably be asleep. Well, it's 9 o'clock my time. I may catch some of it.
Yeah, that one I'll probably, yeah, no. I'll be at a softball game for the tip off for the first team.
The youngest one playing got a game tonight.
Oh, yeah. Game number two. They're 1-0 right now, so need to keep that streak alive.
That's awesome, Phil. What will we be pulling for? All right, I got to get out of here because I got to get this call. For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, J.C. Sherbert, thanks for listening on a Thursday. Great segment with Alex Jones. Four-quarter Friday tomorrow morning. They're going to have the Colleton County head football coach and another guest on. That gets started bright and early. 8:30, Phil?
Yes, 8:30. Right.
And then tomorrow, another combo show. I believe Bradford said we're going to have Derek Scott and Will Crow and John Strickland. So another great football conversation with Strick.
Yeah. Don't say he was going to be coming off of a visit at practice, so no?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I know he said he was going to one. I can't remember if it was this week or next.
I believe it's next week.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's nice. Anyway, Jay Dins, I agree, says the size of the secondary, a bunch of big dudes that can move. I like having a freak or two roaming around like they're like Nick. Yeah, I like that. Who those freaks are, to be determined. We all could use more freaks. All right, folks, we're going to get out of here. See you tomorrow on the Combo ITG show. See you next week on this part of it for another Meatloaf Monday. Hopefully we're talking about baseball wins. But anyway, see you later. Be good.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto
Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.